We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection. And the majority of the time, she'll choose life. But they can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside them. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or visit preborn.com.
The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
You know, we're in Hebrews chapter 12, and there's a lot in there, one of which is the verse in verse 13 that says, "Make straight paths for your feet." And we've often talked about the relationship between biblical worldview and our lives as individuals, our culture at large. Hi, Alex McFarland here. Welcome to the program. Bert and I are going to continue in Hebrews chapter 12 that we started yesterday, but we're going to talk a little bit about making those paths straight through biblical worldview, and we'll talk about a resource called Activate. And Bert, welcome, and it's good to be together. We've got a very special guest, no stranger to Exploring the Word. We've got a guest, don't we?
We really do, and he is one of my favorite people, I have to admit.
You're not supposed to have favorites.
Yeah, so. I know. One of. And if you recognize that voice, it's Wesley Wildman. Wesley, thank you for joining us.
Hey, thank you for the opportunity to come on and share about a worldview training curriculum that AFA has produced.
Activate. Mm-hmm. And I love the name because that's exactly what American Family does. Now, one of the things that sets us apart from a lot of the other organizations that minister to in today's ministry is action. Mm-hmm. You know, we have action alerts. We call folks to action. Yep. And so here it is, an Activate to help you have a biblical worldview. Tell us about Activate, Wesley.
Oh, it's been a long time coming. I've had the opportunity to travel and meet our supporters as part of my job. I build relationships with our listeners and with our supporters over the last 11 years that I've been at AFA. And the most common question that came up over and over again, is there any way that y'all could just pause and just have a weekend course or a training or some class that you could help me take the issues that are important to AFA, which are also important to me, and speaking on behalf of the listener, and would you take those things and help me articulate those to somebody at my church, somebody that I would run into, you know, at Walmart or out in public, and just help me to be able to share these things in an articulate way that makes, you know, this easy, because it can get, some of this stuff can kind of get kind of complicated and timely. So for years, we would point them to AFS or The Stand magazine or other things we were doing, but we finally just sat down and was like, we know this is going to take time, and we know this is not going to happen in 2-3 months, but we need to do this. So we sat down, we took the core issues of AFA, and we produced a curriculum called Activate. And in the curriculum Activate, you're going to get what you would get in most biblical worldview trainings. You're going to get rich content on the five core issues of AFA, which is sanctity of human life, marriage and family, religious liberty, stewardship, and the Bible being the filter or the final authority to these other issues that I mentioned here. So that happened, and you're going to get that in other ones as well. Got a nice workbook.
Yeah. The workbook is good.
Workbook's phenomenal.
And it's got the pictures of the people who are doing that.
By the way, I thought about two people I thought about when this workbook and this project came together. Those that are introverts and those that need visuals. I thought about both of them. And so this project is for everyone.
Yeah.
Now, hold on, Brother Bert. Now, those things that I just mentioned are you have to have those things if you're going to have a training course on biblical worldview. And there's a handful of other good products out there like this. But what makes this significantly different, it's an absolute game changer. It's the reason that it was a single biggest motivation to do for AFA to do this project. And that's that in each session or each unit, the sanctity of human life, marriage and family, religious liberty, and the other ones I mentioned, in each one of them, there is a list of challenges that you have to do that takes the things that you've learned and it teaches you to apply them in real life scenarios. And you have to check those boxes and have to have done those things in order to move on to the next unit.
Okay.
That's what changes it. That's what makes it really, it's really activating you and your faith in these core areas, these very important issues of our day.
Alex, this sounds exciting, and I'm excited about it. I had the privilege of being a part of it,
mm-hmm.
and the session that I do is kind of rescuing. And that's one of the things you do as a pastor.
Amen.
You know this, Wesley,
that's
and
right.
Alex. You're there with people who have they're disheartened. Maybe their family's going wrong, their job, and how to restore that. And that's one of the ones that I do. Alex, go ahead.
Yeah, this is vitally important. You know, 20 years ago, I had the privilege of helping to create a similar resource at Focus on the Family called the Truth Project. And it was used by God in a great way. And more than ever, you know, we have needed something like this. And Wesley, God bless you. I pray the hand of God is upon it, because if ever the church needed to really know biblical worldview, what God's Word says about the core issues of our life and our times, you know, this is going to help them. But where can people find it? Give us the website, and how can people begin to go on this journey of getting equipped?
Absolutely. It's activate.afa.net. That's activate.afa.net. There's two options for purchasing it. There's a home price for you and your spouse, a couple or two, and then there's a group price for maybe a small group at a church. Now, there's an online course. We also provide some DVD. We also provide in a DVD form after you purchase the online course. Again, I just want to remind people what makes this unique, and I'll give you an example of this. In the section of Sanctity of Human Life, one of the few challenges that are there, in addition to certain passages of Scripture that reflect the topic at hand, which that's also part of being active in your faith, memorizing Scripture to go along with the topic. But one of the challenges would be to ask your pastor and your about his and the church and your church's position on the life issue, marriage. There just one challenge that I'll give you an example of that's in the book on marriage and family would be to pick a night a week and sit down with your family and have a devotion with them. There's all types of challenges here where we give you opportunities, both introverts and extroverts, an opportunity to be creative and living out the things that we take in as a Christian. We're most Christians, if they're listening, they're taking nuggets. Almost all Christians take something away from Sunday service. But we're teaching you to take the things that on these particular topics that AFA covers a lot and how to apply it in your everyday life. And so we're really proud of the project. You can go to activate.afa.net. It's a set of DVDs to complement what you learn online. It's an online course. And then, of course, the workbook goes hand in hand with it as well. And we've had a great amount of response for it. And lastly, and pretty neat about this project, is after you've completed it and you've done the whole workbook, there's an opportunity to sign up for a spring or fall. We're calling a graduation ceremony on campus at AFA, where you'll get to meet some of the professors that are part of the training course, along with a nice dinner, a plaque, a way that we can recognize you, and we'll show you around the facility. So we're going to have a graduation ceremony for those who are able to finish.
Amen.
It. And it's not short. It's not for everybody.
Yeah, 18 sessions.
That's right.
13 different professors.
That's right.
And some of those professors are couples,
That's right, yeah.
And it's worth it. It is good. The material is great. And Wesley, I want to thank you, brother, for,
Amen.
You know, spearheading this. And I know a lot of people put some investment
Absolutely.
And time in it, the studio. But it I know it's going to be well worth it, and it's going to be a great thing. Again, it is Sanctity of Human Life, Marriage and Family, Religious Liberty, Stewardship, and it's using the resources, all the resources that we have here at AFA. And so this is what you get. If you're looking online, you can see that, and it's great resource.
In our first unit, just to go back, it all starts with the Bible.
Exploring the Word.
It all starts with the Bible. We have a whole unit where we have a handful of professors that emphasize that we get our answers from the Bible.
Amen.
And so we make that point. And, of course, we also discuss the reliability of the Scriptures as well. So I appreciate you giving me an opportunity. What better program on AFR to come on and talk about the project Activate that AFA has produced? Need to give a couple people credit real quick. American Family Studios, the marketing team. I'm missing a couple other people. Kendra Knox. She helped out obviously a whole lot with the content creation. And there's a handful of others that I'm leaving out right now. At AFA, the whole staff at AFA, every department came alongside to make this a reality. And we've answered the need of the listeners at hand. So,
well, Alex, we're so excited. And I know we appreciate you, Wesley.
Yes, sir. I appreciate that.
Appreciate your love for the Word of God and the Savior, brother.
Amen. Well, hey, I can't wait to get off here because I'm going to turn around and listen to y'all. Is it Hebrews? Is that right?
Hebrews.
All right.
We're still in 12.
Activate.afa.net.
Okay. Well, Alex, that's exciting to hear about it, and we are ready to promote it and see what God does with this. And this shows you the reach of American Family Association, American Family Radio. It has so many areas of concern, but it all concerns the family from a biblical worldview. That's the whole idea, isn't it?
Well, it really is. And, you know, it would be a different nation if the 120 million adult Christians had a biblical worldview and lived it out and shared it and influenced others. It would be a different nation if our pastors really, really had a biblical worldview. And, you know, there's a lot of research that indicates that a lot of our churches, and oh my goodness, I think we all know that many of the major denominations and even many of the clergy do not really take a stand for what the Bible so clearly says. And Bert, I'm thrilled, and I pray God will use this in a wonderful and thorough, pervasive way.
And it's at activate.afa.net, and you can get this resource. Alex, we've got about 2.5 minutes to introduce the rest of Hebrews 12. We got through verse 6, and let me read verse 7. And it starts out with an if. There are certain words that if a verse starts out with those words, therefore, now, then, and one of them is if. You're always looking at those words when you're doing Bible study, Bible reading, because it means, oh, okay, something's happened, something's coming up. And then he says, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons, for what son is there whom a father does not chasten or discipline? Endure. Now, that has been the reoccurring word in the first 7 verses of this book. You have to endure, and one of the things you endure is discipline. Alex, discipline is important. Does it have negativity to it? Well, it has some pain with it, but it's really producing something good, isn't it?
Well, yeah. You know, in the Ten Commandments, when it says, honor your father and your mother, we're living in a time where that's just not all that much done. The idea that we submit to correction, and you know, I got to tell you, one of the things that I pray about for myself, and frankly, the idea that I could lose this frightens me, and that's to be teachable, you know. And the idea there, like in verse 6 and following, 6 and 7, about chastening or correction. It implies being open to be teachable, to be shown where we're wrong, and then to learn to do better. This starts in the home. And, you know, I got to say, many people have pointed this out, but if we don't submit to our earthly fathers, we're probably not going to submit very well to our Heavenly Father. We need to submit to correction, don't we?
We really do, and that's what we're going to hear, and that's what you see. So when we come back, we'll talk about that earthly, heavenly Father, and then it helps us and strengthens us. So don't go away. Listen for more of Hebrews chapter 12 about what God is doing in the believer's life. A recent study reports that the rapidly declining global birth rate will lead to a major population crisis if birth rates continue to decline. Their massive support for Planned Parenthood is all a part of their plan. While we may feel hopeless in the constant attack on life, there is an amazing way to fight back. When they shout abortion, we shout life. Preborn is leading the way.
Every day, their network rescues 200 babies. You see, when a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, a baby's chance at life doubles. The ultrasound is the secret weapon that joins a mother's heart to her child. Preborn provides ultrasounds for clinics in the highest abortion areas. Can we join hands nationwide for life? One ultrasound is just $28, but any gift will help. $5,000 will underwrite ultrasounds for the entire network for a day. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
What a song for our day, and we do need Jesus more than ever. We're praying for revival. We're praying that God would intervene in the hearts of men, and I know the conviction of the Holy Spirit's going to be there. The Word of God being proclaimed is important, so we need Jesus. Well, Alex, I want to ask you a question, and then you take it away. If a father who loves his children doesn't discipline them, is he really showing love?
No, he is not. You know, we've lived in an age, and Hebrews 12 is a wonderful lot. I don't want to digress. But, Bert, we are kind of about five decades into an America of permissive parenting. And I was counseling with a teenager yesterday who was very angry about some things. And this teenager was 13 years old, and they said to me, my parents make me do things, and I've told my mother we need to discuss this. And I had to laugh, and I said, well, you know, like what things? And this teenager was saying, well, like my homework and like making me go to church. I don't want to get up and go to church, and they make me go to church. And so, I was diplomatic, and several adults and I were talking, and I said, look, your parents have put boundaries around you out of love. And at 13, your assignment before God, number one, to believe in Jesus, but number two, to submit to your parents. Because, and I've said this to a number of kids, and, you know, you teach biblical worldview in 2,200 churches, I guess you learn some things. But I said, look, at 13, there's so much you don't know yet. And your parents really disciplining you, you should be grateful. And Hebrews 12 is really saying that, look, just like our Heavenly Father in love redemptively, you know, teaches us things and reprimands us. Now, you have to, you know, 1 John talks about a sin unto death. But Bert, I think we both know that the Heavenly Father is very, very patient with us, isn't he? And loving parents discipline their children. Permissive, anything goes parenting, not only is it unloving, it's nearly destroyed our nation, hasn't it?
It really has. Now listen to verse 11. This is one of the key points in chapter 12 concerning our walk with the Lord. Now, no discipline or correction seems to be joyful for the present, but grievous, that's what it seems like. Man, this is hard. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Now, this principle is true spiritually with our walk with the Lord, but it's also true practically in the home. It is grievous. It is difficult. It's not joyful at the time, but it presents itself. And I love this. It yields, and it yields. That's like the fruit of the Spirit yields certain things. The peaceable fruit of righteousness. Now, I love those words. Peaceable fruit righteousness. Alex, that's exactly what we need. And when you hear this and read this, it thinks you about Jesus preaching on the Sermon on the Mount. It also thinks about the fruit of the Spirit that Paul would write about. It talks about the righteousness that we have in Christ Jesus, in Christ alone. And so we're trained by it. It's not something we do just off and on. No, it is continual training. Therefore, verse 12, you always look at that word, therefore, chasten the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Get ready to run the race. Now, let's go back real quick, okay, and look at verse 1. It says, endurance to run the race. If you're weak, your knees are feeble, your hands are just, they're hanging down, don't have the energy, you're not ready to run this race. So here he is. He's getting us ready to run the race of faithfulness, isn't he?
Amen. Amen. And as we submit to God, we follow his leading. And I love what you said now, you know, lifting up the hands which hang down. Before we get too far, I got to mention verse 11. No chastening for the moment seems joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. You know, it's anything, whether it's working on a degree or saving up money to get out of debt or starting an exercise program. The old saying, no pain, no gain, right? Now, you know, in 1 John, it talks about keeping his commandments, 1 John 5:3, and it says, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. You know, discipline is a wonderful thing, isn't it? And Bert, I think about this, the tenth commandment says that we're not to covet. And if there's one thing, and hey, I'm preaching up myself here too, but we need to be a culture that understands the value of self-restraint. You know, we're a very materialistic culture, which I kind of think about the 10th commandment wraps around to the first commandment that we're not to be idolaters, you know? And in verse 11 of Hebrews 12, where it's talking about the discipline of the Lord and, you know, growth, isn't it true that the most valuable things in life, they don't come easy, do they? Whether it's building a relationship or growing spiritually, reading the Word, or earning a degree, or achieving what God has called you to, the things that cost us, submitting to God, worshiping while you wait. Bert, isn't it true that there are things that require just blood, sweat, and tears, but aren't they some of the most valuable things in our entire life?
They are. That's why when he first started this chapter, he used the idea of endurance. Alex, you mm-hmm. don't bail out. No, you stay with the program. The program of what? Discipline. Playing basketball in high school. Man, when we first started, all we did for a while was run sprints, run up and down the stairs. And I'll say, when are we going to get to bouncing the ball and shooting it? It was a little while. And then we added the basketball, and guess what we did? We had to dribble the basketball while we ran those sprints. We had to dribble the basketball up and down the steps. That was hard if you're not coordinated. But you add to, and it goes back to Peter, add to your faith. And that's exactly what discipline does. It adds to what God has given you. Now, again, look at this, if you would, in verse 14. And I love this. It says, pursue peace with all men. There it is. And holiness, without which one, no one else will see the Lord. We're to pursue peace. That's what we are. Now, we're not to sacrifice truth for, quote, unity. But you seek that. So you stand on the truth and you pursue truth in kindness. They'll see your good works and glorify your Father. They will see this. Now, they will not always. Not all men will be turned that way. But we're to pursue that. We're trying that. We're encouraging that to pursue this peace, this truth. Looking diligently, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. Now, Alex, I don't know everything that's in this passage, but it does say that we better get right with God now. And don't sell out. Sell his soul for a morsel of food? That's exactly his birthright. Don't be easily swayed by Satan's tempting you to go astray. And so not fornication, not profane. Listen, I think he's talking about immorality. I really do think he's talking about having this biblical worldview that works its way out into our lifestyle, isn't he?
Yeah. And, you know, we've got to camp out here for a moment about our birthright. Now, what does that mean? We might think, oh, okay, our family name or something like that. And that's true. But, Bert, I really think there are a number of birthrights attached to each of us that we need to understand what God has allowed. You know, Psalm 16:6 talks about the boundary lines of our life. Okay, by the sovereignty of God, everybody listening, most people listening, we're an American. Hopefully you're a Christian. Perhaps you're married and you've got a spouse and a family, and you've got children maybe that look to you. Maybe you're in ministry. You're a pastor. Maybe you work for a company and they trust you with certain responsibilities. Bert, just like Cain and Abel, and just like Isaac and Esau, there have been people throughout history that betrayed their birthright. You know, the old saying, sell your birthright for a mess of pottage. And I'm not being trite here, but like on Andy Griffith, I preached on this Sunday morning where Andy Griffith would say, you know, remember who you are. Or he would tell Opie, act like somebody. And Bert, you and I both have known clergy, and they carry the high name of Jesus, the high calling of the gospel, and for the temptations of this world, sold out their birthright. And the thing about it, though, and I'll throw it to you, and folks, every one of us, look, we're saved by grace. That's right, the favor and the grace of God. But let's remember, we represent Jesus. We don't have the right just to act anyway, because we are Christ's representatives. And so, Bert, here's the thing. The Bible says no man lives unto himself. And when one's birthright is betrayed, there's a high body count sometimes, isn't there? Do you know what I'm trying to say?
I do. You're doing a good job of expressing that, Alex. Let me just, as you were saying that, and I read this about no place for repentance, the further you go down the road of rebellion and rejection, the harder it becomes for repentance. That's the three R's. You got, you know?
And some of the people hurt by it never recover.
They really do. One of the things, and in the Activate program that we talked about today, one of the sessions that I do is what causes this bitterness within people. And most of the time, it's always connected with relationships or circumstances. We feel like we were cheated in the circumstances, or we have a relationship that goes that is broken and goes unhealed. And so here it was true with Esau. That relationship, because of his greed, of desperation.
Impatience.
Exactly. Rebellion and rejection. And when he came to repentance, we don't know everything about it, but we tell folks that you're never too late to get saved. I believe that with all my heart, but at the same time, I'm putting this warning out to everyone who is listening. If you're not saved, the further you go against rejection and rebellion against God, the more dangerous the territory becomes, even to come to repentance in Christ. Your heart is hardened. And again, so today's the day of salvation. You don't wait. You want to get right with God today. Now, Alex, verse 18, I'll introduce it and go on. For you have not come to the mountain that may be touched and that burned with fire and blackness and darkness and tempest and sound of a trumpet. Now, what he's talking about is Mount Zion, the Ten Commandments. There's places that you're put up, verse 22, but you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God. Listen, two mountains, Mount Sinai, Mount and Calvary. I want to ask you, which one is filled with grace, brother?
Mount Calvary. You know, we've talked about this, and I think about this. People have said, you know, I'll say, have you died and stood before God? And God said, why should I let you into heaven? What would you say? And people have said, well, I've tried to keep the Ten Commandments. Listen, if you're on Mount Sinai under law, you don't want that because we've all broken the law. We've all known the right and done the wrong. Come over to the other mount, Mount Sinai, verse 22. I'm sorry, Mount Calvary, verse 22, where is grace? And, you know, in a way, Bert, on Mount Calvary, there was Jesus, and on one side was one thief, on one side was the other. One thief said, Lord, remember me. They call it the penitent thief. He repented, and one thief didn't. In a way, the entire world is like a microcosm, like a microcosm of the world. Folks, you either have Jesus or you need Jesus. Fortunately, and I'm like you, I believe Jesus says, whosoever will may come. If you're in the land of the living, you still have an opportunity to turn to Christ if you would but do it.
Do it now. Now, Alex, we come to verse 24, and with the time we have, I think we can stop there. We've already talked a good bit about 25 and 29 when we introduce the being shaken part of it, but I really, verse 24 is so important. And it says, Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant and the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Now, Abel gave a sacrifice that was acceptable to God. But the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, who was the sacrifice, this is kind of like a climax, although it's not at the end of Hebrews. This is a climactic statement concerning all the things that the writer of Hebrews has said. Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant and the blood of sprinkling that speaks better. He is the best priest. He's the best sacrifice. He's now the mediator between God and man. It's all wrapped up in Jesus Christ and who he is and what he's done, isn't it?
Well, and any pious Jew reading this, when they read this in verse 24, they would have known Ezekiel 36 about being sprinkled clean, the new covenant. God will take away the heart of stone, the dead heart, and give you a living heart, a heart of flesh. We are in that new covenant if we put our faith in the Messiah.
888-589-8840. We want your Bible question today.
Of 1.5 million children from the Holocaust, the only two names we heard that day were the names of the same two sisters that I had printed off and put in my purse.
The Joy Lucius book titled Priceless Pennies, Rose and Odette, Unknown Children of the Holocaust, is the miraculous story of family, faith, and friendship. It's available now at resources.afa.net.
Here's Pastor Jeff Shree with From His Heart Ministries.
Do you have anything difficult in your life? Something that's facing you right now that is just too difficult for you? It may be impossible for you. It's not impossible for Him. And He wants to do a miracle in your life today.
Find real hope when you discover the power of Christ. Join Pastor Jeff Shree on From His Heart, weeknights at 6 Central, here on American Family Radio.
You know, a lot of times you have to choose between something high quality or something that saves you money. But if you could get both, why not? Especially when it comes to healthcare, and that is MediShare. You get both. Many families save $500 a month with MediShare, and that's huge. But it's also true that people wind up way more satisfied, too. The member satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. That's because MediShare works. It has for more than 30 years. It's a community of Christians who have shared more than $5 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth. They love the huge PPO network. So yeah, really, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price in 2 minutes. Here's the number. Just call 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. The American Enterprise Institute conducted an empirical study to understand the decline of religious faith in America. They concluded the data seemed to show the main driver of secularization in the United States is government spending on education and control over the curricular content taught in schools. Why? Because children learn more at school than reading, writing, and arithmetic. They imbibe a whole set of implied assumptions about what's important in life. Faith in God becomes a sort of optional, weekend hobby akin to playing tennis or video games. And our tax dollars pay for it.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
This only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. Psalm 27, verse 4.
American Family Radio.
You weren't there the night it found me. You did not feel what I felt when he wrapped his love all around me. And you don't know the cost of the oil in my eyes.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word, that alabaster box that is broken for the Savior. You know, Bert, when I hear that song, I think about the heart. You know, we need to break open our heart and let the Lord in. But the number, here's the number, folks, toll-free, nationwide. We would love your Bible question, and you will get through. Call now with a Bible question, if you would. It's 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. 8840. And hey, may I share one that was posed to me over the weekend when I was at the Cove? And again, I want to thank the Billy Graham Training Center, Will Graham, and all of his great staff. And then Bert, of 283 attendees, the vast majority, they came up and they shook our hand. They said, "We're here because we heard you on American Family Radio. Please tell Bert we love AFR.
Well, amen. Hey, I love our listeners. You get to see more of them all over the country than I do because of your travels. But the ones I see when I do travel are the ones locally. It's awesome to meet them. So, Alex, amen. What was that question? We got Tom ready to go, but let's answer your question, and then we'll go to Tom.
Well, somebody asked about 1 John 1:9. And by the way, I've got a stack of questions people handed in. It could make a book one day, maybe. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And they wanted to know, is that a verse about evangelism, or is it a verse about Christians that need to, you know, keep short accounts and confess and come back?
Hey, I would say yes.
Both and.
It really is, because you can use it. Now, he's writing to Christians. In the book of 1 John, he is writing, he uses little children again and again. He'll say little children. So he's talking to believers. And but yet, at the same time, we need to confess our sins, even as the people who have not trusted Christ yet.
Yeah. And that's just one of those beautiful gospel verses that works for believers and unbelievers. But praise God. 888-589-8840. That's the number. If you want to call in with a Bible question, we would be very pleased to hear from you. So, Bert, from the call board, where shall we begin today?
Okay, let's go. Well, I was going to, let's go to Tom. Tom in Georgia. Tom, are you there? Let's try it again. Okay, Tom, go right ahead.
Great, thanks. I love your program, and so glad to have a chance to ask you a question. With the changes in the Republican platform, I was curious, since it's not as completely pro-life as it was, I'm kind of hesitant about who I should, I mean, not who I should vote for, but maybe if I should even vote, since neither one is as pro-life as I wish they were. And I heard a little bit of your discussion about that last week, so I just appreciate getting to know how y'all view that.
Well, Tom, thank you. And it is concerning. If those of you who have not heard and do not keep up with it as strongly as Tom and others do, the platform and the position concerning life has been weakened. Now, what has taken place, and they discussed it pretty thoroughly today on today's issues, what we were looking for is each state, overturning Roe v. Wade and put it back in the arms or the hands of the state. It has been taken there, and there. So that is the position, and they are saying they want that, and they're not saying we want a nationwide ban the way it has before. It has weakened, Alex. Has it weakened it enough that you're looking for someone else to vote for rather than the Republican or the Democrat?
Well, I can only speak for myself, and in fact, I did an interview on this very subject earlier today, and I'm only speaking for myself, and what I'm about to say might be subject to change depending on some positions, but I truly think that we have a morally sufficient reason that we should vote for the Republican nominee. And I'll tell you why. And I've read the Republican platform in its entirety probably half a dozen times, carefully, every word, every line. And here's the thing. Those of us that are constitutionalists and conservatives, and I hope to those C's I would add a third C, Christian. But if we don't elect constitutionalist leaders, then those that are Marxist, globalist, atheistic, libertine, in other words, New World Order anarchist, will. And so, and I've had listeners say to me, and believe me, and tomorrow night I'll be on the Hamilton Corner, 6 to 7 Eastern, 5 to 6 Central, from the convention. Maybe, keep me in prayer, folks. I'm trying to get Charlie Kirk on there with me tomorrow night, and maybe we'll do that. But, Bert, I think the stakes are so high that we must preserve our Constitution. And therefore, I'm only speaking for myself. I have no problem voting for the Trump ticket. That's what I plan to do because it may not be perfect, but it is a universe is better than the other side. And there's Aristotle used to say the perfect is the enemy of the good. Please let's not miss the good while we're waiting for the perfect. It's not perfect, but it is constitutional, and I think it would go a long way to preserving our liberties.
Tom, I'll stand with Alex, and one of the important things that he did say that could change if we see the slippage in the Republican. Is there a possibility of a third party? That's the whole idea. And it's been a two-party system, and no third party has ever done it that way. So it's a difficult task. So as long as we can say that and influence that, I think it is better than withdrawing. That's the point right now. It may not stay that way. And I agree with Alex. It may not stay that way. But as of right now, that is that position. We appreciate you, Tom. Hope that helps. Let's go to Travis in Virginia. Travis, thank you for calling.
Hello, how are you today?
Doing well, man. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, I kind of got a little bit of a different sort of question for you. I've always thought about this. I've never had anybody answer it. We always today use the base 10 system, tens, 100,000s, whatever. Has anybody ever gone back and looked at the Bible in the sense of a base 7 system? 7 days, God, and God rests on the seventh day. And, there's other sevens, the seven's the perfect number, et cetera. But have you ever thought about that? And has anybody ever said, hey, the Bible was written in a base 7 setting rather than a base 10?
Let me tell you, great question. Let me carry that on further. How about in the book of John, 7 miracles? How about in the book of John, the 7 sayings of the I Ams of Jesus. And so 7 and 10 and 12, there are some significant numbers, and I know this is what you're saying, the base. I'm not sure there's just one base, Alex. I tend to look at it's more than just the 10. Go ahead.
Well, we know that 7 is the number of God, and it's the number of perfection. We often mention this because I think it's just kind of one of the best ever. There's a book, and I don't think it's available as a Kindle or an ebook. You're going to have to buy a book. But E.W. Bullinger, Number in Scripture. Now, here's the thing. The number 10 is very similar to the Hebrew word for wealth. But in Scripture, 10, the general meaning is completeness or order. Now, 7 is the number of God and holiness and righteousness. But Bert, in the sense of completeness, think about it. There were the 10 commandments. There were the 10 plagues of Egypt, which was a complete judgment on Egypt, right? There were the 10 tribes of Israel, right? So 10, I know we measure and we do a lot of math on base 10, but you know, I understand what he's saying, that the number of God, but isn't it interesting that the number 10 is very prominent also in the book of Revelation? And so 10 seems to represent completeness. I will tell you, because of, you know, binary ones and zeros, it's easy to do math based on 10, isn't it?
It really is, and that it helps out a lot. Again, those numbers are very important, Travis, and I still go with what I said first. God doesn't put it all into one of those numbers. All those numbers are very pivotal and important in the whole Bible, from the old to the new. And the seven church, you know, so you go through it and you see 10 and 7, you see 12, the 12 apostles, 12 tribes. These are all very vital. So, Travis, great question. And let me just say, great thinking, too, to think through that. Yeah, let's go to Kentucky and talk to Steve. Steve, thank you for calling.
Yeah, good afternoon, Bert and Alex. I had a question about if we develop, like, musical skills in this lifetime, and after we're in, I assume, the millennial kingdom, where there is going to be a temple, and we can worship the Lord Jesus in person. And apparently there were Levitical musicians back to the time of King David and Solomon. I'm assuming there's going to be musicians in the future. So if we have, like, musical skills that we have developed in this lifetime, will they translate over into the next?
Steve, thank you for that. Man, we're getting A-plus questions today. I appreciate that. Let me just put one qualifier on this, Alex and Steve. For Bert Harper, who can't sing a lick, can't play an instrument, If we are limited to what we developed here upon earth, I'm going to be so disappointed. I'm looking at being able to carry a tune in heaven. But I see you. I'm having some fun with your question, Steve. But I like that idea, because it talks about what we do on earth being profound up in heaven combined. Alex, go ahead.
Well, you know, the Bible has a lot to say about musical instruments, you know, and worshiping the Lord on an instrument of 10 strings. And in the Old Testament, music was so prominent. Yeah, I think there's definitely going to be music in heaven. You know, now I do play the guitar, and I've played a lot in church. So playing, singing, no. You know, I was at a church, you know, the old joke, somebody said, will you please sing on a hill far away? And they were like, no, I mean it. Go sing on a hill far away.
Well, they asked me to sing so low they can't hear it, you know? And but Steve, I really do. When you look at the Old Testament and look at the temple, now that's what we've studied in the book of Hebrews, Alex. We've studied the temple here upon earth is a shadow of the temple up in heaven, and they have as Steve so well said, in the Old Testament, the Levites, they were a sound to the whole music area. when David brought the ark up, man, they had a marching band as they were celebrating with all instruments. Steve, man, thank you for this. You've blessed me by that question. Alex, you want to finish up with Steve on anything?
You know, in Revelation 5, 9 through 14, it says they sang a new song, the song of redemption. This is in heaven, saying, worthy and deserving are you to take the scroll and break its seals. I love this song, man. When I was a little kid, the lyrics of this song so gripped my heart. I love to tell the story, for some have never heard the meaning of salvation from God's unholy word. And when in scenes of glory I sing the new song, till 'twill be the old story that I have loved so long. Bert, I think we're going to sing in heaven, and we'll all sound like Bev Shea, maybe.
Amen. Thank you. You've given me hope. Steve, thank you again. Great call. Let's go to the great state of Oklahoma and talk to Arthur. Arthur, thank you for calling today.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. Very blessed by you both and all that you do. My question is more of a concern, really, since I've been reading the Bible over the years. It's become clear to me that the newer versions, if you will, have been changed, are being changed, like the NIV, for example. It's opted apparently to go for gender neutral pronouns. So I guess my question, to caveat with that, is what version of the Bible would you recommend reading nowadays? That one that stays true more to the essence of you know.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Arthur. Great question. We get this question quite often. There are some that are better than others, Alex. There's no doubt. And I love the King James. I use the New King James because I have a problem with the King James, with the filleth and the thous and the thines. I get that mixed up if I'm not careful. But there are some good versions. The New American Standard is not as fluid, but it is very straight with translation. Go ahead, Alex.
Well, you know, I've been in a number of conferences where scholars would say they wish there would not be any more English translations
for
like 300 or 400 years.
I'm one of those.
Publishers crank out translations because it's something they can copyright and sell. King James, New King James, NASB, I like those. We could talk some more, but publishers, they see profit potential, and they're cranking out some translations that are less than ideal.
Let's spend some money on translations into languages that need it right now.
And proclamation.
Amen. Let's do that. Let's see tomorrow, and we'll go in Hebrews 13.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
We'd like to thank Preborn. Preborn has rescued over 200,000 babies from abortion, and every day their network clinics rescue 200 babies. Will you join Preborn in loving and supporting young moms in crisis? Save a life today. Go to preborn.com.